Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the feature bout on UFC 282, the legend Robbie Lawler taking on Santiago Ponzinibbio. Lots of reasons to like this fight, mainly because we kind of know what we're going to get from both of these guys. They're both predominantly strikers. Of course, we saw Ponzinibbio working a takedown against Michelle Pereira in his last fight. I don't know as he's going to be trying to do that against Robbie Lawler. I also don't know as I'm expecting Robbie Lawler to try and shoot on Ponzinibbio. I think with this being 15 minutes and with both of them being confident strikers, they're going to feel like they can get it done on the feet. As far as experience goes, I mean, their records are not too dissimilar as far as numbers go. The only difference is Lawler's got an additional 10 losses on his record. So Robbie Lawler, 29 wins and 16 losses with one no contest. Ponzinibbio, 29 wins with 6 losses. When you look at their knockouts and submissions, this is where it varies. Just ever so slightly. They are both strikers, but there's definitely more submissions on Ponzinibbio's record. Even if not, you know, he's not known for his submissions in the UFC. I don't even think he's had one in the UFC, has he? No. His last submission was 2012, San Jose Super Fight 2. So I don't know as we're expecting either of these guys to be throwing submissions up. So 29 wins on Robbie Lawler's record, 21 by knockout, one armbar. Way back earlier in his career, I couldn't even tell you the opponent's name. He's not a submissions guy. He's got good takedown offense, consistently good takedown offense over a very long career, especially when you look at who Robbie Lawler's fought as well. And this is where their records differ, because yes, there are an additional 11 fights on Robbie's record if you count the no contest. Say there are an additional 10 fights on Robbie Lawler's record. He's had 6 5-round fights, and that's not including the fights that have gone into championship rounds, which I think it's been twice. So there's a lot more experience, like volume wise for Robbie Lawler. You've also got to remember that he had a lot of time outside of the UFC where he was fighting very, very tough opposition. I mean, you know, you look back to who he was fighting in Strikeforce, and he was fighting big fighters, he was fighting talented fighters. Like, you know, let me name some of these fighters for the old school among you. I mean, he's got a loss to Babalu for a start, who fought Chuck Liddell back in the day. He knocked out Melvin Manhoff, which is one of my favourite knockouts that you'll ever see, because he was getting beaten up in that one. And he uncorked this massive shot that just stiffed Manhoff. The point is, Robbie Lawler's been around for a long time. I remember watching his UFC debut. The one that stood out in my mind, actually, was UFC 40. What was that? Vendetta? And he fought Tiki Gosen. And at this point, Robbie Lawler was, you know, he came out, fired up, eyes blazing, absolutely bone dry, no warm-up at all, veins popping out the fronts of his shoulders. And he was just this savage that the Miletic team had happened to find in a barn somewhere in Iowa, and they taught him some takedown offense. That was kind of how it felt at the time. He comes out against Tiki Gosen, and he was like a demon possessed. And it always stuck out in my mind. Now, I forget that was 2002. That was 20 years ago. And Robbie Lawler has always stuck in my mind because of that particular performance. And he's reinforced that over the years with the fights like the Roy McDonald fight and such. An absolute warrior. What I will say, though, in his last fight against Brian Barberena, it just didn't look like him. He looked still using the same defense that he always uses, that typical Philly shell, but he looked more hittable, and he looked less concerned about what was coming back at him. And Robbie Lawler's normally a fairly slow starter, I would say. He likes to, or at least in his more recent years, he likes to let his opponents kind of work, where he stands there behind his Philly shell and just kind of rolls stuff off his lead shoulder and pressures into their range, so they then feel like they have to do something. There are very few fighters that use the Philly shell as well as Robbie Lawler, especially in mixed martial arts. And this is where I feel like their striking styles match up quite interestingly, because Lawler's the southpaw Philly shell style, and then you've got the orthodox fast jab cross of Ponzinibbio. But going back to the tail of the tape, this is where I feel like the stats aren't quite correct, because it's got Robbie Lawler down as 5'11" with a 74-inch reach, and it's got Ponzinibbio down as 6' with a 73-inch reach. Now, I've got nothing to say for the reaches, but I wouldn't say Ponzinibbio is 6' tall. I'm 5'11", 5'11 and a half, 182 centimeters. I've stood next to Robbie Lawler and we're about the same size. Ponzinibbio always looks small to me as a welterweight, so that's going to be an additional challenge. The reason I'm mentioning this is because he has a very long stance, and when he steps in with his jab cross, he seems to get a bit lower and he ramps and he punches up into his target. So if you're trying to fight someone that's got a good Philly shell and you're punching up, it makes it much easier for them to roll punches off that lead shoulder. That's going to be really problematic for him in this fight against Lawler, especially if Lawler fights in a bit more of a cautious way. If he does what he did against Barbarena and puts himself in the pocket, then Santiago Ponzinibbio can learn from what Barbarena did and start hitting him with elbows, because that's where it started to come unraveled for Lawler, when he started to get cracked with those big elbows. Lawler in a boxing match with Ponzinibbio, I feel like I side with Lawler based on his technical ability and the experience that he's got in his game. But he is also slowing down. I mean, you know, he's two months older than me. We're, you know, both 40s. You know, I forget how long ago Robbie Lawler's career began and how many battles and wars he's had up until this point. I mean, he's All Violence first team, without a doubt. He is that guy on that team, and there comes a cost with that. You know, we've seen some of the fights that he's had where his opponents have not properly ever recovered from them. I don't think they've never been the same since. Now, I feel like in this fight, if Lawler plays smart and allows Ponzinibbio to do what he wants to do, which is pushing back up against the fence, then Robbie Lawler can start using his counterboxing to land meaningful punches. If he starts being aggressive and he starts walking Ponzinibbio down, he's going to run into one or two things. It's either he's going to keep running into the jab and the cross, because they are quick from Ponzinibbio. He is able to put them on the target quite quickly. It's after the jab cross he starts to get reckless. So if I'm Lawler, I want him to throw that jab cross and be slightly out of range, so I can then start to counter his following shots where his hooks get a bit wild. The other thing that Lawler might run into if he starts to push forward is that Ponzinibbio might start to wrestle and might start to get very frustrating for Lawler. It's not like Lawler wouldn't be able to defend the takedowns, because if we look at the stats, the statistics side with Lawler when it comes to wrestling. 65% takedown defense compared to 31% takedown accuracy for Ponzinibbio. And again, you know, you look at the people that Lawler's fought and the people that he's defended takedowns against. His takedown offense stat is 65%. After all of those fights. So I don't expect Ponzinibbio to be able to just ground Robbie Lawler as easy as other fighters have and frustrate him. I think he's going to really have to work for it. And the thing is, the closer you get to Robbie Lawler, the more dangerous he is, because he's got that really lethal short-range power, and if you commit to him, he's going to use your power against you and walk you onto something. Okay. They're both tied for knockdowns at 9, which I think is interesting. But again, Robbie Lawler's landed more strikes. He's been in and around the sport for a lot longer, and he's had 6 5-round fights. So that's not including the fights that went into the 4th and 5th round. I think there are 2 more fights that went into the championship rounds. 6 times he's been the distance over 5 rounds. Ponzinibbio's only seen the 4th against Magny. So again, and the reason I'm mentioning that is because of their strike stats, because they've both got 9 knockdowns. Robbie Lawler's landed 1,454 strikes to 9 knockdowns, which is 161 strikes per knockdown. Ponzinibbio's landed 844 strikes to 9 knockdowns, which gives him a knockdown statistic of 93.7 strikes per knockdown. So the power sides with Ponzinibbio if you look at those stats. But if you look at overall record, I kind of feel like Robbie Lawler again comes out on top. Partly because of, you know, the knockouts on his record, 21 out of 29, and also because of who he's fought. You know, the fights that he's had, the bangers that he's had over 5 rounds against the likes of, you know, Colby Covington, Rafael dos Anjos, Johnny Hendricks, you know what I mean? The Rory McDonald fights were tough, but only one of those was a 5-rounder. He's landed a lot of punches in his career. He's knocked a lot of people down. He's knocked a lot of people out. He is definitely fading, though. He definitely doesn't look the same fighter that he used to. And if I'm Ponzinibbio, I'm going to try and put a pace on him from start to finish. The other thing that you've got to remember as well is that Ponzinibbio's last couple of fights have been split decision losses. And even the Baeza fight, he wasn't certain at the decision. He was there was kind of a moment where it was like, is it going to go my way or his? You know, the striking statistics on all three of those last fights of his were very, very close. So I'm not going to be supremely confident that I'm going to be winning on the scorecards if I work at the same rate. Now, I know I can outwork Robbie Lawler if I'm Santiago Ponzinibbio, but I want to make a point of that this time around, because those two split decision losses, Jeff Neal and Michel Pereira, Ponzinibbio would be able to look back on both of those fights and think to himself that there was more that I could have done there. That's the problem with a split decision, is that one of the three judges thought you won the fight. And after the fight, you can have very kind of skewed memories of what's happened. You either remember the good things that your opponent did or the good things that you did. Like, I remember fights that I felt were much closer than they actually were because I can feel the knots on my head from my opponent hitting me. But then when I actually watch the fight back, I'm like, oh, they're kind of inconsequential by comparison. And, you know, then there are other times when I've had a fight and I thought to myself, oh, I did really well in that one. I don't really think I got hit. And then I watch it back and I'm getting cracked with all kinds of shots that I just wasn't registering at the time. A lot of that is down to the psychology of the fighter. Their confidence going into the fight, their perception of their opponent. Like, if you're Ponzinibbio and you're fighting Robbie Lawler, you know for sure he's got heavy hands. So you're going to be far more aware of shots that are going to be landing. Whereas if you're Robbie Lawler and you're fighting Brian Barberena, I'm probably not thinking the same kind of problems that are coming my way. Although they can be, as we learned from the Lawler-Brian Barberena fight, which is a really impressive performance from Barberena, I will say. But again, it reinforces that Robbie Lawler's not... he's not the same athlete that he was. He doesn't carry the same kind of ferocity that he used to. And I think if Ponzinibbio had fought him in 2019, I'd have had my money on Robbie Lawler. But I think this time around, it's far more of an even match. And in my opinion, it's leaning slightly towards Ponzinibbio. Just the fact that he's coming off two split decision losses, which really will light a fire under his ass. It's Robbie Lawler. He knows it's a great opportunity. It's a big name. And I'm sure he's looking at it going, you know, I've got a 40-year-old Robbie Lawler that's already got 16 losses on his record. Like, I should be able to beat him. Really interesting fight this one is. Really interesting one. What haven't I said? Oh, I haven't mentioned our sponsor again. New shirt. Newshirt.co.uk. My friends over there sent me a couple of shirts the other week and I actually posted them on my Twitter and then realised that they weren't even available for purchase yet. So I deleted that quickly and I said to them, when the site's ready to go up, let me know and we'll give you a shout out on the war room. So today... you've got to love it. They had to send me the Stop the Fight shirt, didn't they? I mean, I love it. There's two types of that shirt, and there's a few other ones on the website that are going live soon as well. I think you'll like the designs. They're very cool. They're very cool. It's my kind of tastes for mixed martial arts and, well, just general humour, I would imagine, you could say. But certainly this first wave of T-shirts have got an MMA feel to them, which is... probably why they sent me that and probably why I feel like they'll appeal to you. So make sure you check them out, newshirt.co.uk. If the website's not live when you go on it, it will be within a few days. All right, enjoy these fights and I'll see you next time.